I'm trying then to lead by example and sharing my story here. You don't have to hit rock bottom and go the path I did. There is an easier way, and that is to talk about your work-related challenges before they bring you to your knees.
This is the Leadership Communication Show, a podcast to help people like you be the inspiring and influential leaders their people need. I'm Michael Paperno, and I'm a communication expert, teacher, and coach. My personal mission is to help good leaders be great leaders through the power of communication. I promise you'll learn something from each guest on this show that will help you along your personal leadership journey. Okay, on with the show. Today's conversation is with Nick Johnson, who is co-founder and managing director of EGN Singapore, one of Asia's premier networking organizations. He's built a caring community that provides hundreds of executives a safe haven to share their challenges and receive support and learn from each other. He's also an international best-selling author and award-winning speaker and an executive mental health advocate, something he and I have talked quite a bit about and share a passion for. I invited him to the show today because he always makes me think about topics that are sometimes hard to tackle, like executive loneliness and isolation, vulnerability, and self-leadership. So welcome to the show, Nick.
Thank you very much, Michael. It's great to be here, and thanks for covering these topics.
Let's start, Nick, by telling my listeners about you and your background and your story. How did you get to where you are today?
Well, I was born in Sweden in 1975, and then late 90s, I moved to Australia to study English. And why Australia? Well, it's as far away as you can get to from Sweden, basically. And I wanted to improve my English. And again, people might wonder, why on earth then Australia? But it was the climate, you know, being born in Sweden, the cold, the dark winters and so on. So I wanted to get away. So Australia it was. But after a few years of studying there, you know, I felt that it was a bit too far away from home, too far away from family and friends. So then I was looking at the map and I saw, where is halfway? Well, it's sort of in Southeast Asia. So that's where I ended up. And I spent the last 20 years living and working in Vietnam, Indonesia, Thailand, and in Malaysia and Singapore and so on.
Actually, it's funny because I was just in Sweden for the first time 3 weeks ago, and it was an awesome country, but I was really taken back by how early it got dark. It was like early in the afternoon and the sun was setting already, so I don't know if I could make it there through those dark winters.
Yes, absolutely. And that, I mean, in the middle of the winter, indeed, you just get perhaps 3 or 4 hours of daylight, so it can be quite depressing to live in that too long.
Well, I'm someone who gets what we call here in the United States the winter blues. So by January or February, where it's, you know, it's not as dark as it is in Sweden, but it's gray. It's usually snowy and wet and dirty from all the snow. And by the time I get to that point, but let me tell you, I am ready to see some sunshine. And I get a little bit down during those times. And I know that affects a lot of people.
Yeah, it's very common for people. And that's what I wanted to get away from. And of course, in Southeast Asia, now the last 5 years, I lived in Singapore, where it's very different. And what I've worked with in Southeast Asia over these years, though, has been in various big multinationals. I worked my way up the ladder. I started in PR advertising, in account executive roles and account management director roles, and eventually becoming a general director and managing director with these companies and leading bigger teams. And while I had a successful career and everything looked great at the time, you know, I was chasing the promotions and getting, hitting the targets and so on. And on the outside, everyone thought that Nick has it all going for him. His career is doing great. But I have to say, when I'm looking back at it, it was quite a lonely journey. It was a lot of elbowing my way to the top, not really caring so much about my coworkers, my colleagues. It was more about, yeah, myself and me and I basically, that was the journey I lived. And I thought that was normal. I thought that was the only way. But then eventually, and these days, I have left the corporate world and being then with EGN, where we are creating these confidential peer groups. And I can see that I'm not alone. It's many senior executives that are doing just what I did. And as the saying goes, it's lonely at the top. And that's really my journey as well.
It sure is. And it's funny because a lot of the people that I coach, you know, mainly senior level people, that comes up
almost, I mean, not all the time, but almost all the time. There is isolation, there is loneliness, there is, I don't know if fear is the right word, but there is a hesitation to talk about your mental health and how you're feeling in that role, because you often have to put on, and I know you and I've talked about this in the past, you often have to put on this, well, we think we have to put on this facade, or there's a, you know, what we need to show up for our people and to lead well often looks like something that's not reality. And I think that's a problem, because talking about loneliness, talking about mental health is stigmatized, and it's not easy for a lot of folks. And that's really why I love looking at what you do, and you talk so openly about that. How did you go from that corporate world and feeling that way and realizing other people could feel that way to getting involved in creating these peer groups and speaking on these topics and writing about it? I know your book is actually called Executive Loneliness. How did that all come together for you?
Well, let's put it this way. It was not overnight, Michael. And I mean, talking about mental health in the workplace for senior executives is definitely something that sits very deep inside us that we don't open up about. Even talking just about work-related challenges, just admitting that you don't have the answers is already a big step for a leader. And I was certainly not admitting to my colleagues when I was feeling stressed and challenged. That was something that would show weakness and that I didn't have the answers. So I kept that secret. And just also to let you know that when I interviewed then executives for my book, 84% would not talk to their colleagues or boss or their company about their mental health challenges. So that means that, you know, a vast, vast majority are not comfortable talking about that. And I was certainly not. And that's a painful experience to live in that. And why am I now then talking about it? Well, as many times, Michael, we have to be brought to our knees. And in my case, I was given the gift of desperation. I hit rock bottom when I had a personal crisis in 2018. And it was only when I was about to lose everything and I lost most of everything I have, that's when everything changed. And from there on, I decided to live life in a completely different manner.
Wow. So that's not that long ago, 2018. So that must have been a really pivotal and difficult time for you.
Yeah. And again, it was a downward spiral from about 2014, 2015, when I went from a divorce, I resigned from a job, I lost my self, and I basically stopped exercising. I started to consume too much alcohol. And so I switched all my good habits to bad habits. And over a period of 3 years, I was going down. And in 2018, I didn't know what was home anymore. I was consuming too much alcohol. It had become an addiction at the time. And I didn't know how to break free from it. So there I was, and I didn't tell anyone about this. Again, on the outside, things looked good. It looked like I had it all together, but eventually the wheels fell off, you know, and I was brought into basically medical care. And eventually then I had to patch my life back together again.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that with my listeners, that part of your journey, because so often we don't hear about those struggles with our leaders. We don't talk about these things. We don't ask for help. We don't talk about what's making us anxious or stressed out. And then we hold that in. And I guess, Nick, it's because we don't want to appear or look weak or, you know, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of emotions that come to mind when you think about why we do that. Sometimes it's just we feel that's what we, quote unquote, should do as a leader, is just what we say here in the United States, suck it up and just do what you need to do to get through things. But that's not always healthy. And I would argue, and it's funny, I've had this conversation with several people about mental health and seeking help and asking for help. We have to start making it okay for people to do that, making that look strong, because that really is strong. If you're telling me 84% of the people that you surveyed were not comfortable speaking up about their struggles and challenges, boy, the 26% that do it are the strong people, in my opinion.
Yes, absolutely. And I kept it very secret all the way until 2018. And in 2018, I decided to only speak up to a doctor. I decided also to join a support group because of my drinking, which had become an issue. And it was only within that sort of safe, protected space that I decided to speak for 1 year. The people on the outside still did not know what's going on with me, and everything looked just the same. But then in 2019, so a year after I came into recovery, something happened that changed everything in my life. A colleague and friend of mine suddenly died of suicide. And that's when I decided to tell the world, because I realized, you know, that I could have gone that way too. If I didn't seek help, if I didn't start my recovery journey, if I would have kept in isolation for another year, you know, the self-talk and the negative stories we tell ourselves and my health, the way it was going down, I was breaking down, it could have gone the same way. So I realized that I was so close to this. And when I lost my friend, I decided to put a video on LinkedIn about this. I started a charity donation fund, an awareness fund for basically breaking out of the loneliness for senior executives, and that we can talk about this. And this post went viral all around the world. So within 24 hours, I was called by radio stations, newspapers, magazines, and TV who wanted to talk to me about this because they had not found anyone who wanted to talk about it yet. So that's how it's all started. So within 24 hours, I was disposed, I was disclosed, and I was live on radio telling my story. And from there on, there was no way back.
Oh my goodness, that must have been... that must have been a little scary when all that was happening.
It was very scary, Michael. But, you know, but you can imagine the relief afterwards, though. When you've been exposed, then it's no secrets anymore. Yeah. And I felt that for every time I shared my story, including, and thank you, Michael, for letting me share my story with your listeners today, because every time I talk about this, something is lifting from me and I'm feeling lighter, I'm feeling better.
Yeah. Oh, I'm honored that you're sharing your story with my listeners. I really appreciate it. It's funny because you just said about, you know, going into recovery and getting over your addiction and finding that group of where you could be open and honest and not fear being exposed or whatever. You were kind of leading yourself out of that. And you do that, it seems like that's what you do with your peer groups as well. You provide this safe space for these executives to talk about things that they have no other way to, no other people to talk about with.
Right. So if I'm comparing then the support group where I got support for my addiction, that was more on, can you say, deep mental health side and recovery side, when it's gone very far, when people have become addicted to alcohol, for example, while in the peer groups we are discussing work-related challenges, so it shouldn't go as far, because if you address it right and you talk about it early on, then it shouldn't go as far as it did in my case, because I spent 15 years keeping all my work-related challenges and secret to myself, trying to deal with them myself instead of finding a solution or talking to a coach, a mentor, or as in my case now, these confidential peer groups. And I'm trying then to lead by example and sharing my story here, that it doesn't have to go as far as my friend who died of suicide. You don't have to hit rock bottom and go the path I did. There is an easier way, and that is to talk about your work-related challenges before they bring you to your knees.
Right. Well, especially because we talked today about, you know, taking care of your body and making sure you have a separate, you know, work-life balance. And I mean, those things are very hard for busy leaders to begin with, but a lot of times we're not thinking about the mental health component of it, because that's just as important as taking care of the rest of your body, doing your cardio workouts and staying fit and eating well. But yeah, executives need that outlet to be able to talk through things. I mean, just think about it from a really simplistic level. When you've got something swirling around in your head, how good does it feel sometimes just to talk to somebody about it, just to say it out loud, even if it's not something that's a secret or highly confidential? I find that it's very helpful. Maybe that's just me, but I think that's kind of human, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. And it's about, you know, having those networks around you. So you have your personal network for your personal challenges where you can talk, and you have your professional network where you have people you can talk to about your work-related challenges, rather than pouring a glass of wine to relax in the evening, which is very common. It's not only me, when I was in a senior executive role, that does that. It's quite a common issue, especially with the hybrid and work from home culture, mm-hmm. where you have these virtual parties and everything that came with the lockdowns, yeah. and so on. And a lot of those bad habits are still there. So instead of, you know, finding the easy way to calm ourselves, seek someone indeed to talk to about it.
And you mentioned last time we spoke that, you know, part of self-leadership and making sure that you're taking care of yourself so that you can lead others is about surrounding yourself with the right people. How do you help people work through that?
Well, indeed, you have to lead yourself before you can lead others. And when it comes to yourself, you have to sort your inside out before the outside, rather than the other way around, which it tends to be. I think as most senior executives, we care so much about the profile we have, how we look on the outside, that we forget about the inside. And too many times we are perhaps stretched, working too long hours and just trying to hit the targets and driving things so hard, instead of taking, you know, that pause, that break, and really reflecting on ourselves and making sure that we are well physically and mentally. And then instead, it's almost like how you are parenting your children. Lead by example and people will see it, and invite people to come with you for physical exercises and those kind of events, and you know, sign up for your local fun runs and do these kind of activities together with your family. Do it with your colleagues and friends, and lead by example, and people will see that here's a person, you know, who's looking after themselves, who's living a life. And I want more of that. So inspire your people around you by leading by example.
That's great advice. And how you know, you see a lot of people in your networks and everything. I'm curious about, because we talked a little bit about the hybrid workforce right now, you know, with the pandemic kind of hopefully behind us or almost behind us at this point. We are seeing more of a hybrid work environment, and I don't know if we're ever going to go back to the way we were. Or what are you hearing from leaders about connecting? Because this is a lot about connecting with each other. I mean, what are you hearing from leaders about how they're managing themselves and their people and leading their people in this hybrid work environment? Because it's a little bit, it can be difficult.
It is very difficult, and you know, because it's a lot of misunderstandings, but it's also more meetings than before, because if you're meeting only in person, then you know, people need to make an effort, perhaps travel somewhere or go somewhere. So you don't have as packed days as now. It yeah. seems like now the days are just completely back to back, and it's the same for everyone. And people are, you know, really, really stressed out, and also now combining this hybrid virtual world with an uncertain future. We came from a pandemic and lockdowns, and now there's wars, recessions, uncertainties, job layoffs. This is what people are facing, and there's no wonder that they are worried. And if you then, on top of that, are not leading yourself and looking after yourself physically and mentally, then you're really not in a good shape and in a good place for the future.
And that's one thing, Nick, that is really critical, that leaders lead by example in these environments. If you as the leader are booking back-to-back-to-back-to-back meetings that run right to the top of the hour, every single meeting, then your people are going to do the same thing. And that's not healthy.
Absolutely, Michael. And that's what we are seeing. I mean, it's not uncommon now when I'm talking to leaders, and many of the people I'm working with here are, you know, the regional directors for Asia, working for the big American multinationals. They're stationed in Singapore, Hong Kong, and running big teams. So they are traveling from country to country. And we're talking 14 to 18 hours working days, you know, and how do you then find time to look after yourself?
And we'll be right back. The Leadership Communication Show is brought to you by the Comvia Group, your source for leadership communication and workplace relationships coaching and training. Visit wearecomvia, that's wearecomvia.com, to learn more. If you're a senior leader in healthcare who's thinking about making the transition to the early and mid-stage life sciences world,
The Comvia Group's Write the Next Chapter of Your Career program is for you. Learn more and get access to a free preview at www.wearecomvia.com/next-chapter. That's www.wearecomvia.com/next-chapter. And now back to the show. Time is a critical thing, and finding time, yes, is difficult, but the best leaders I know make sure that they're using the right amount of time every day to take care of themselves, because they know if they don't do that, they can't show up for their people. So, and be the best leader they need to be. Because we're headed toward a world of burnout leaders is what something that I'm afraid is coming. Because the expectations are high, especially in larger companies, leadership is very, very public. Mistakes are not forgiven as easily as they used to be, which is a shame, because we all make mistakes, and nobody out there, anybody listening to this podcast is perfect. I challenge you to tell me that you are perfect, because I'm not perfect. Nick's not perfect. We know it. No leader is perfect. And it's tough to make sure that you are. I talk a lot about executive presence, making sure you're showing up as a leader, making sure you're showing up the way you need to for your team. And you do have to do that, but it's also okay to show that you're human and not have a good day. And I think that we need to give our leaders a little bit more grace in the ability to do that than we do.
Yes, absolutely. This goes both ways. And I say also that, being a vulnerable leader and creating this culture of openness, it has to start from the top. You can't expect your employees and your teams coming in sharing that they are having a tough day and they are suffering and they need a break unless the leader first have led and set by example. So do this in times when you are feeling okay and set the scene here and build up this culture of openness. And I would go one step further and encourage every leader to implement the policy that we have in my company, which is a fail fast policy, where we make it very okay to make mistakes, and we talk about mistakes, and we encourage people to grab them as soon as you see them and then talk about them and say, what did you learn from it? And we even structure the budgets of our teams that they have. We call them experimental budgets. So part of the budgets, it's okay to make mistakes with, because that's the part that's what we learn from.
That's great. So you're basically setting the policy ahead of time, and everybody is on the same page, and they know that failure is going to happen and how we deal with it is what matters.
Absolutely. And we're constantly asking people to share, and if they make a mistake, they can rightly say that this was one of my fail fast exercises, and this is what I learned from it, and this is what we can do better next time. So in this instance, and I then as the leader, I have to grab them as often as I can. And I actually had one moment yesterday when we were trying out some new scripts on our social media outreach, and it didn't work, and I called it, and then I used the term saying this was a fail fast learning experience. Let's not go down this path. Let's do this instead.
I wrote a blog post recently about failing, because I've had my fair share of failures, and I'm like to be very positive on social media, on LinkedIn with my posts, and be inspirational. And I was thinking to myself, you know what? I talk a lot about how important it is to learn from failure, but sometimes there's no lesson. It just stinks, and you did something wrong, and you got to move on. And a leader also needs to know when to help their people just name it. Look, that didn't work, and maybe we didn't learn anything, and that's okay. Let's feel what we need to feel about it, because people feel badly when that happens, and move on. And I got a lot of people connected with that post, because I think a lot of times, again, it's what you're seeing, what you talked about earlier about that facade that we put up. It's like, oh, you have to, oh, there's always a lesson in failure. I'm always learning. Well, sometimes you're just feeling bad, and that's okay too.
Yeah, sometimes we go down the wrong road, the wrong path, and I certainly done it many times, and it's a dead end, and then we just need to call it, and then we move on from there.
And then you don't waste time in emotion, you don't waste time thinking about it, and you don't hurt your emotions by dwelling on it. You just move past it. But I love that you have that clearly defined for your people, because that helps everybody name it when it's happening.
Yes, absolutely. And it makes us sleep better at night. And I'm talking a lot about that in my book. And I know that you also have been talking about sleep on your podcast. And that's what a lot of the health starts there, by, you know, being able to go to bed at night without having anxiety over things and having cleared things so that you know that there's nothing between you and your colleagues. There's no resentments. There's nothing there. Then you have much better and deeper sleep. And then this is the, you know, something that goes around in the whole company, because if one person is not sleeping, that probably means there's another one hurting as well.
Yeah, so true. So true. So Nick, I want to ask you, because you've educated me a lot about, you know, isolation and those feelings of executive loneliness. And I have clients who have talked to me about that. And I've even experienced it in the past when I was a leader of a team. And it's something that's just feels a little bit like scary to talk about, or like I shouldn't be talking about that. I'm very privileged to have this leadership position and to be where I'm at. So what advice do you have for people who may be feeling that way, who think they may need help?
Well, I think it's many levels you can tackle it at. The first is if it's just something that is work-related, a big challenge, a conflict with your boss and so on, then indeed a coach or a mentor or a peer group or a mastermind group or something like that might help. But if it's gone really far, if you're falling into depression, isolation, and you're not feeling well, then there's so much professional help there. And we're talking here, you know, you can see a psychologist, you can see, again, perhaps a coach who can try to help you also. And there's also, if there's becoming an issue, like in my case, an alcohol addiction, but there's so many other issues out there with leaders suffering from social media, shopping, food, gambling, mm-hmm. all these kind of addiction. And most of them have anonymous support groups full of volunteers willing to support and help. And even if someone has suicidal thoughts, I myself am a volunteer and fundraiser for a suicide prevention agency here. These are existing all around the world. And what is the best with all of this? The most is anonymous. And there's so much help you can get online these days that if you just go into a search engine and search for it, you will find something in your local community, a phone number. And the most important message is don't wait. Just call someone. As they say, a problem shared is a basically a problem that, you know, is already halved. So just start taking action is the most important.
I love that. And remember, making those decisions to seek help is a strong thing to do. And I really hope that we can destigmatize that. But you're doing the important work to do that. And I so appreciate you, Nick. And I appreciate you coming on the show, sharing your story, and talking to us about your work and these important topics that more leaders are facing than we know. So thank you very much for coming on the show. Before we wrap up, tell folks how they can find out more about you and your work.
Well, it's been great being on the show, Michael, and thanks to all the listeners for also digging into this topic. Together, we can break the stigma surrounding the topics we're talking about and breaking out from the loneliness. So if people want to look me up, they can find me on LinkedIn, and my name is Nick Johnson, NickJonsson, or my website is nickjohnson.com. Finally, if someone is interested in my book, it's on Amazon and it's called Executive Loneliness. So thank you very much.
Great, Nick. I'll put all those links in the show notes. So anybody who's not driving or running or walking right now, you can click on those to get access to Nick's information. Listen, thank you so much again for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
That's it for this episode of the Leadership Communication Show. Thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you think this show can help other people you know, please tell them about it too. To learn more about me and my work, head over to my websites at michaelpiperno.com and wearecomvia.com. While you're there, be sure to check out all of the leadership communication tips and tricks I share on my blogs. See you next time.